Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gabaza, and for today,
we are getting well into, life in 2025. So early into the year, a lot of people think that things are quiet, but we are starting off the year with some deal activity, a big deal that has been announced by the team from Life Healthcare, and that is something that is seeing a disposal of their 100% interest in Life Molecular Imaging to Lantheus Holdings, and that is a $750 million deal, and that translates at the current exchange rate to just under 14 billion rand, or 13.9 if you are trying to be exact. So today we are joined by the CEO of Life Healthcare Group, that is Peter Wharton-Hood, and he's going to be giving us some insight into the landscape right now that has led them to make this particular disposal, and what it could possibly mean for their particular sector. Peter, greetings to you today.
Hey, greetings, Leo, and thank you very much for the chance to have this exciting conversation.
Life Healthcare is, already a big group, in South Africa's, healthcare landscape. But maybe what it helps us to understand, and for people that are unacquainted, is the imaging business, right? That is LMI, Life Molecular Imaging. Some insight into what that particular business is and does, and your rationale for deciding that disposing of it, would be in the best interests of both the business and shareholders.
Some time back, we acquired Life Molecular Imaging as part of the Alliance Medical Group, which shareholders and your readers will recall we disposed of during the course of last year. At that particular time, we decided to retain the interest in Life Molecular Imaging for a variety of reasons. One, the business is one of the pioneers in radiopharmaceutical isotope developments, and is one of only three companies in the world that can diagnose Alzheimer's disease using a radiopharmaceutical isotope. At the time we orchestrated the disposal of Alliance Medical Group, the waters were somewhat muddied around the real value of Life Molecular Imaging. If we go back 2.5 years in the company's history, a lot of our critics have thought that this asset was worth zero for a variety of reasons. The market was, the regulatory environment hadn't approved the treatment for Alzheimer's disease. The demand for diagnostics was somewhat opaque or vague. And a lot of investors thought, as I said, that the asset was worth nothing. We thought somewhat different to that. We took the view that the market would evolve, that the regulatory framework would get us to a point that the Alzheimer's treatment pathways and reimbursements would favor this investment. We decided not to dispose of it, and we actually invested quite heavily in it. Systems, processes, corporate governance, people, sales processes. We built the business from a very, very small beginning into something that's pretty robust. And that has caught the attention of Lantheus. In Lantheus, we found a partner with substantial presence in the United States, widespread expertise, 65 years of experience, and the capabilities that we think to be able to develop this asset to its full potential. So the time was right to do a deal. And we'd always said that at the right price, this asset was available for sale. And all of those criteria found themselves in the right place at the right time during the course of the last 6 months. And so we present this deal to shareholders, which we think is good value. It's good value for our shareholders and a good value unlock, and hence the reason taken to dispose of the asset.
Now, one of my understandings, just reading through, the announcement earlier on that was published, around this, is the fact that, despite some of the history and context that you've just given to us about the fact that there was a section of the market that didn't attribute any value, you know, to that particular asset. You guys had a different thesis. You invested in it. I understand that you're even making a $200 million profit, you know, on this particular transaction.
Well, it could in actual fact be bigger than $200 million because the way that the deal has been structured is we get $350 million up front. A portion of that must be paid away to the founding partners in the Pyramals that we owe a portion of that money to. The original founding management that also gets a cut of that. So the initial amount available to shareholders is $200 million. But there's a further earn-out potential of close to $400 million that's on the table as well. All things being equal and a lot of criteria that need to be satisfied, and that's a 10-year earn-out window. There could be more money in the pot for shareholders in addition to what we pay out in the next 12 months.
All right. Now that sounds like a pretty good situation, and you know something good to be understanding there. Very quickly though, one of the things that I'm keen to then understand is, obviously, you've set out the fact that perhaps Life Healthcare was not a natural holder of an asset, like this. But when it comes to illuminating value, there tends to be different options that are available out there. A lot of people tend to run, straight to let's list a business, right? But, market conditions, will be what they are. In your case, what was some of the thinking around, I guess, perhaps the best way to illuminate that value? Because you could have, held on to maybe a minority stake, participated in possible, uplift later on in life. You could have, there's the listing route, but, that has its own complexities. There's so many things that you could have done. How did you guys decide that, okay, fine, maybe just a normal private sale is just going to be the best way to illuminate that value? Or was this just, plain black and white, just the best in terms of the numbers?
No, we had all those options on the table. A partial or full listing of the asset was certainly considered. But at this value, it's not big enough to warrant a separate listing. 13 billion rand in international markets, that just wasn't going to fly. A partial sale of the asset, we've had experience being minority or non-controlling shareholders in assets. Our foray into India taught us some lessons as well. We're not good financial partners. We either control and run the business or we don't. So a partial sale was never really an option for us. It just doesn't suit the style of company that we are. In the context of partnering, if you recall the transaction we did with Lanthius, there was quite a good example of a partnership that we'd established by out-licensing the Bombesin asset to them. And that was contemplated again in the context of this particular evolution, that could we do that again with Neuraceq? But the substance of where we'd got to was Neuraceq was a mature product that now requires substantial boots on the ground, investment in sales infrastructure in the United States. And quite simply, a South African headquartered business is just not equipped to do that, or not to do it at the scale that was required. So what we've done, if you read the announcement carefully, is we've still retained the rights to manufacture and distribute the products in Africa. We've still retained the full benefits of the RM2 transaction, which was structured during the course of last year. But we have sold the remainder of the assets to Lanthius. So it's a partial sale in the strict interpretation of the word, but we've sold bulk of the business. But all the other options that you'd alluded to over the 2 years we did investigate the alternatives, everything was up for grabs. But this turned out to be the best way to unlock value for shareholders.
All right. Before we let you go, Peter, maybe you could also give us a sense at the start of 2025. given this particular deal, probably, you know, very early on into 2025. And, you know, to my knowledge, probably one of the first, you know, deals to be announced this year. How are you anticipating that 2025 is going to go, you know, in your particular sector when it comes to, you know, mergers, acquisitions and, you know, deal activity? And how are you as health, as Life Healthcare, you know, thinking around, you know, your own participation in the market?
Well, what one can see is, first of all, you've got to get this deal over the line. It's one thing to announce it. We've still got to get shareholder approval, and there are some conditions precedent that need to be satisfied before money changes hands and the ownership structure changes. But if one looks at the last 12 months of activity in Life Healthcare, we've certainly we've cemented the balance sheet into a fortress balance sheet. We've de-geared substantially, and this is another step towards de-gearing it further prior to the distribution to shareholders. You also will have noticed that we announced the build of a new hospital in the Western Cape. That's a substantial investment, and that requires both focus and resource to get completed. In the context of what acquisitions could take place, our focus is in Southern Africa. And our foray internationally for the time being is over, or shall we say limited. So to the extent that we can build out businesses in the Southern African context, either in imaging or related businesses outside of the hospital, but related to hospital business, all bets are on. But it is an industry that is complex, complicated by the overhang of the NHI conversations, which are incomplete. And investor confidence in the sector has to be there in order for big deals to take place. So I think that our role is primarily to be a responsible participant in a very, very important industry that the South African economy depends upon and South Africans depend upon. And we're going to focus on executing our hospital business well. That being said, to the extent that we can supplement or complement the build-out of infrastructure in the Southern African space, we, of course, are players and key players, and we keep our eyes and ears open as to what opportunities will present themselves to us. But for the time being, all focus on running the existing business and completing the deal that we're promising to shareholders.
All right. Peter, if you'll indulge me, I am a huge technology geek and nerd. It's one of the things that I look at all the time, and I'm hoping that, you know, in this last minute or so, you probably answer a question that has probably come across your desk many, many times in the last couple of years. We're now at the start of 2025. AI in healthcare, you know, how do you feel that has played out or is going to continue to play out?
The similarity I draw is with airlines. AI and the use of computers in airlines. If you got onto an airplane to fly to London, and the announcement to the passengers was, well, today the pilot is not present, but you'll be flown to London by computer. But here you get off the plane. AI is not going to replace doctors. And remember, a robot cannot replace a nurse. In the context of healthcare, it's hands-on from nurses that heal patients. And to my mind, the knowledge base that's available in AI will help doctors the same way that computers help pilots, but you are not going to replace the doctor and you're not going to replace the nurse. They will be here for, they've been here since Florence Nightingale's times. They will be here forever.
All right. On that note, that's where we come to the end of today's conversation, just understanding, you know, what's happening in the world of Life Healthcare. They have just announced, you know, one of the first, you know, major deals of 2025. That is a $750 million disposal of Life Molecular Imaging to Lantheus Holding. And Peter just giving us some insight into the decision, you know, to let go of that business. But he is is just giving us some insight to say that they weren't the natural holders of that particular asset. They had announced in the past that it was an asset that was up for sale if the right deal was to come along. The right deal has come along, and they have signed on the dotted line. Just we're now waiting for your shareholder approvals and some of the conditional traditional things to happen, and then that deal will be signed, sealed, and delivered. But he does say that Life Healthcare does retain a number of things. So in essence, you're looking at a partial sale of that particular unit. So that's been it. We were in discussion with Peter Wharton Hood. He is the CEO of Life Healthcare Group. Peter, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the chat.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.